And we're back with another episode of Black and a Half.
This is like, I think it's episode 17.
I think so, somewhere in there. But this is a special.
If it's not, I'll dub this.
Yes.
I'll do a dubbing, and I'll suddenly say, 18.
Yes.
Oh, no, no. It's, 17, this is great. Our guest today, author Christopher Robinson.
Yes.
Brought him in here, met him at the Comedy Underground. He was doing an open mic.
Killed it.
Yeah, destroyed.
Yeah.
Destroyed the whole place.
That's right.
It was comedy above ground.
There you go.
Then he did it. Now it's underground. Met him there. Found out he's an author, and we like to have authors on, so.
Heck yeah.
I got him in.
Talking about a lot of good stuff on this one, from Russian spies to, of course, our.
Well, let's talk about Star Wars.
Star Wars, Star Trek.
I'm sorry, people.
Hidden Figures.
Talk about that. There's definitely some spoilers. Rogue One.
Spoilers.
Make sure you don't care. You probably saw it.
Yeah.
You know, like, who hasn't?
Yeah. If you're one of our fans.
Yeah, one of our fans should have seen that. Probably didn't watch it legally, but.
Yeah.
As long as you watched, it's an important thing.
Exactly.
Don't give Hollywood money. Hey, today's episode is brought to you by jealousy.
Yes.
Jealousy.
Keeping marriages happy for the last 100 years.
Doesn't keep it happy?
Not really. I mean,
breaking up marriages.
Yes.
Since 1823.
There you go.
And also by the color yellow. Hey, we'll mention it a couple times. What we need you to do, Black and a Half, need you to subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can listen to us everywhere and share it, please. We want to. This is the year, 2017.
Yes.
Black and a Half has taken over the world, but it's up to you, our fans.
And a side note, please jump on your Comic-Con tickets ASAP.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't get to announce that, right? I didn't know before.
Yeah.
We are, Manny and I will be appearing at the Real Nerds of Comedy.
Yeah.
Again, at Emerald City Comic-Con on March 3rd. I think 6:45 is our show. So check that out if you got your tickets. That's the one to get at. It's going to be a lot of fun. Good lineup. Some people returning. From last year, some new faces. It'll be great. It's always a great time. It's the funnest weekend of my year. So check us out on there. All right. So
stay tuned.
Get ready. Christopher Robinson.
Yeah.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
That was the most special countdown you've ever done in your life, I swear to
God. That was special. That was, you know what? I just saw Hidden Figures, and it was practice.
There you go. What a great.
To watch them.
What a great movie. Did you see that yet?
Which movie?
Hidden Figures.
No, what is it?
Oh, it's a blaxploitation. No, it's a, it's about the first African-American female NASA computer.
Mathematicians.
Yeah, yeah.
First call them black computer.
Yeah, yeah. First black computer. Yeah, so this was iMac Black. This was legit.
It was about the three of the black mathematicians that helped get NASA into space.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
The sort of untold story about them.
Well, a lot of people don't know. Anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, man.
It's there. And we're going to be talking about that and so much more on Black and a Half.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us again.
Tuning in.
I'm Sass Lindenstein.
Manny Martin.
And Manny, this is the episode.
Oh, God.
This is the episode where everyone's going to go to iTunes and subscribe.
Yes, I have faith in you listeners out there.
This is the episode that's going to happen.
I feel like Christopher is the reason that they're finally going to do
Christopher,
this.
Yeah, we have Christopher Robinson
yes.
in the house.
Don't blame me if that doesn't happen.
The one and the only.
Yeah. But then if it does happen, you're going to be it was the Robinson bump.
Exactly.
Christopher Robinson.
Some royalties.
Author, future Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He's here with us.
Which Hall of Fame?
It's just the thing we say, just in case.
Oh, okay.
Cross-hatching porn Hall of Fame.
It's got
it's going to be.
Cross-stitching.
Cross-stitching. I keep saying cross-hatching.
Hatching.
Well, I used to draw in art in Green River Community College. They had Cross-hatching is a form of shading, so I was reminded about that, which is very cool.
Wow, I didn't know you were so artistic.
Well, more autistic than artistic, but yeah. It has been fun.
I need to see some cross-hatching in your house.
Yes.
I want to see some Superman paintings.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. Ninja Turtles are my specialty. So.
Do you, other than comedy, do you have an outlet right now?
I'd say probably masturbate. No, I'm just, what is my other outlet? Probably just the gym, man. I actually threw my back out this week, so it's, no gym.
Again?
Wow. Picking up my nephew, so it's like...
Wait, not even working out?
Not even working out. That's how bad it is
right
now.
How much does your nephew weigh?
He is literally 1 year old, so probably like 30 pounds. That's pretty bad. That's that's
awful.
Well,
no, you can,
Were you curling him, or?
Let's see. I kept doing the thing, where you pick him off the ground and you kind of toss him up in the air. And okay. So it was a lot of
it's
bend
like
over. Yeah, a little bit, A little bit of CrossFit action. So I felt like, I just noticed it this morning, and I was like, holy hell. I'm not going to be able to walk.
It's going
to
slow down your midget tossing.
I know, dude. I used to be a pretty good midget tosser, man. Yeah. So
Little
people. Sorry.
Little people.
Sorry.
You gotta...
Nomenclature.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want them to,
attack you.
They're unsubscribing.
Exactly.
Right
oh, my
now.
God.
They are from Africa. So.
Africa?
Yeah, that's their nation that they... That's racist. I'm
that's right. Oh, that sounded like a WWE character.
Yeah,
like
it's
African.
The African.
African giant. Like, what? Did you, Jimmy Snuka?
Did you hear about Jimmy? Do you know who Jimmy Snuka is?
Are you a wrestling fan?
I was a WCW guy.
Oh, okay.
I was too.
Were you
but
really?
Not, I was, well, yeah. Okay. I watched them both until... I watched them both when, like, Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen was my big thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And then...
Arn Anderson, all those guys?
I didn't really get into WWE until the whole Monday Night Feuds started.
Really?
Monday Night Wars. And then, I would watch them all.
Yeah,
I'd
yeah.
watch all the pay-per-views and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, when I found WCW, I liked that way more because it seemed, like, more real and more, like...
Yeah, I was always WWF months. From, like, the start. Mm. Like, I'm still mad at the World Wildlife Foundation for taking away that F. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that really pissed me off so bad.
Well, that affected my childhood. That's what bothered me.
Wait, so who died?
So Jimmy Superfly Snuka. He was the first guy to really kind of take high-flying to a different level. So, like, in a steel cage match that he actually lost, he threw the guy back in the ring, climbed up to the top of the cage, jumped off, and landed on him like...
Oh, shit.
The frog splash style, so...
He didn't die in the ring, though.
No. But he actually had some controversy. He, killed his girlfriend or something
what?
Like back in the day. You didn't read about that?
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
It was did he go to jail for that?
I think he did.
He did
but
got,
then
like, manslaughter or something.
Something like that, so.
I forgot about that. He's a celebrity, so.
Yeah. Well, I hope that he's well and he's looking up at us from a better place. So,
I was Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Because even if you did WCW, like, they all were in there at one point.
Yeah, they kind of rotated through.
And him and Roddy's war was just great. I used to get all the old VHS.
Oh, okay.
And, like, watch the old ones and everything.
Man, Roddy Piper, did you ever see that movie? What was the one where they put on glasses and then they saw, like, an alternate reality? Oh, God. You got to see it. One of his famous lines.
Oh, They Live.
They
no.
Live, yeah, yeah.
That,
yeah,
live?
Yeah. I think it was called They Live.
They Live, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen They Live.
Oh, such a good, like, one of my favorite quotes in there. He was like, I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm fresh out of bubble gum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, so Duke Nukem took it from that.
Really? Oh.
Really?
I mean, that's a line from the original Duke Nukem game.
There you go.
When was that? How old was that?
God, that was in the
90s,
in the
huh?
90s,
yeah.
Right?
Man, Duke Nukem.
I was like, well, who stole it from who?
Nah, well, maybe he stole it from Duke Nukem. Well, no, I feel like this movie would...
Maybe they're the same writers.
Should we go to Google for it? No.
We might have to...
we'll put the link up. Yeah, yeah, we'll Google it later.
I'm not putting the link up.
Yeah.
We'll cross-hatch that later.
Yes.
That's our new fact-checking.
There you go. Can you cross-hatch that for us?
Yeah, I'm going to cross-hatch that.
There
totally
you
cross-hatch that.
Yeah.
Man, it's weird because we record these ahead of time. And next... So we record these.
Yeah.
We were, hey, right
Trump's
now we're not
be
live.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a President Trump in theory.
By the time
this airs,
you guys hear about this,
or there might be I don't know.
Slavery
like
might be back by that time.
Pence will be president already.
Oh, yeah, that would.
Like they've already arrested Trump. He's already in Guantanamo.
I don't know how I feel. I mean, they're both pretty bad, but I think like I'd almost rather have a Pence because he just seems like at least predictable crazy.
I'd rather have someone who stands for everything I'm against
than
someone who I don't know if they're going to just kill accidentally. Like, just...
Right.
Just crazy. It's just like, Yeah. What else? What Dude, else? Yeah.
How are you
happen?
Feeling about it right now?
I think I exhausted most of my negative energy towards it in the last month.
There you go, yeah.
And now I'm just kind of resigned. I mean, I don't know. The whole Russia thing even, that's just like...
Blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's like everything that's coming out on just basic news and Twitter. It's like this would be a Tom Cruise movie where he's uncovering all the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and it's all just out there, and we're like... Yeah, well, it's not so bad, right? Like, I'm like, how are you going to root for the next Mission Impossible movie when you, like, voted for the bad guy?
Yeah.
On the way up here, I was even thinking, like, yeah, you know, I could devote my life and, like, give up my dreams to, like, fight Trump.
Oh, God.
I was like, you know, I'm not going to do that. I want to hang out with my girlfriend and cook dinner, you know? I'm not going to go spend all my time like creating an anti-Trump cell.
Wait, it's so that's your dream?
So what I'm
hanging out with your girlfriend and cooking dinner?
I mean, yeah. Right.
He's got to say that.
She's lovely, but I want to go a little higher. Like, I don't know.
No, that's
brunch?
I have a series of nested dreams, you know?
There you go.
Like a nesting doll?
Yeah, totally.
You open one
like
and
a Russian Matryoshka doll,
Speaking of Trump. But right now, you're living the dream, aren't you? Aren't you living a dream?
I'm living that one dream, yeah.
One dream. You're the first nesting doll, right?
There's a series of dreams.
You're an author?
Yep.
And
for now.
You're a full-time author, right?
That's a kind of weird statement, right? It means that I'm unemployed and I'm just writing.
Right.
So in that sense, I'm a full-time author.
Still,
you know? But I mean, are you selling books?
I mean, no, not really.
No, okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, it does. Like, I.
Oh, so you're like a full time comic. When they say full time comic, you're between jobs.
I mean, it doesn't. Like, the way it works is, like, you sell a book to a publisher, right?
Okay.
Through your agent.
Mm-hmm.
And then the publisher gives you a big chunk of money in advance.
Oh, nice.
And then it's the publisher's job to sell books to people who might read them.
But right.
That's kind of like a separate thing from me, right? Like, am I selling books? Like,
oh, but they gave it to you.
Well, the publisher gave me a bunch of money.
Do you have to buy your books back?
Yeah.
Do you have to buy your books back to sell them, though? Like,
if I want to, like, sell myself?
Like, if you're going to go around, like, if you're going to go to a bookstore.
No.
And you want to bring
the bookstore provides a copy.
Oh, they do that?
Yeah,
okay. I don't know. There's in comedy, sometimes there's some publishers that you get a recording contract with them, you record the CD, but then to sell the CD, you have to buy your CD from them.
Oh, that's gross.
And then you drive around trying to sell your CD. And you're like, why did I get a publisher?
Yeah.
You're hoping the national things will pick it up.
Certain things, like if you were going to some literary festival out in Montana or something, maybe they wouldn't have copies and you'd have to bring your own, which case you could buy them at a wholesale rate from the publisher.
Oh, cool.
Like that.
Okay, that's good.
So what is usually, I guess, where do you make the most money? Would it be in the bookstores or would it be like on Amazon or on the...
Do they show you that stuff?
Like 9 out of 10 books, mine included, never earn out their advance.
Mm.
Really? So, and what that means is like the publisher fronts a bunch of money to you, and then you're sort of theoretically in the hole for however much money that is. And every time they sell a book, that counts as a royalty payment against your negative amount.
And
you slowly chip away at that negative amount until you get back to zero.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever get back to zero, then you'll start getting royalty checks.
All right. Do you hear that, everybody on listening to this? You need to go buy a book
right now. I'm never going to get back to zero.
You might.
No, I'm not. Really, I'm
What's
not.
The name of your book?
It's called War of the Encyclopedists.
War of the Encyclopedists. Go buy it right now. Our four listeners are going to bring you up. No, we got a good
following. The good thing is you don't have to pay back the advance.
You don't.
Oh, okay.
They won't write you a check.
Yeah.
I've heard I think like music. I think they charge them if they don't like. Oh, you didn't sell.
Or at least I was in.
I have enough money to live.
So what do they do? They just assume that.
I mean, it's
how do they
gamble,
make
right?
money then?
1 out of 10 books becomes Twilight. Right?
Okay.
Is that a thing? You're either huge or you're really
small.
It's
the industry slowly changing, partly due to the ebook revolution, other publishing platforms. But the dinosaur publishing industry has kind of operated on that model where they make all their money off of their yearly bestsellers, and then everything else is a risk that either breaks even or doesn't make.
Are they hoping that they're going to turn your book into a movie, and then the sales would just skyrocket or something?
That's part of the hope.
They don't own those rights, right?
It depends how you negotiate your contract.
Are you optioned yet?
I'm not optioned. No, we retained those rights. My agent,
awesome. So
kept those for us.
There you go.
Sometimes Black and a Half still has hope.
Yes,
yeah. Exactly. We're gonna have enough offers in here this? Until we are booked as the leading role.
Exactly.
Did what? An audiobook. That was fun.
Oh, there you go. So
yeah. Did you read it?
I read it. Yeah.
Nice.
Was that a weird experience to sit there reading?
It was. It took a long time. My voice got really hoarse. I didn't realize how much stomach noise I have.
Oh, really? So you could hear it on the...
The audio engineer just like, oh, heard a little stomach gurgle. Do that line again, you know. Oh, mouth noise there. Like, your mouth just...
Yeah.
All those weird little noises.
Crazy.
You know? Yeah.
So let me ask you this. We'll each go around the table. If you could have anybody narrate your book, who would it be? Like any celebrity.
Sort of depend on what my book was. Was it a biopic?
Or okay, let's say one's a biopic and then the other one's like an adventure.
Okay.
I just want David Attenborough, hands down.
Okay.
I don't care what the book is.
Might have my biopic. I think I want Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I think that's so every black person wants Morgan Freeman to like. And then he came and that's a horrible Morgan Freeman.
But then I think I don't know, someone interesting. I don't know, Tina Fey.
Okay.
I have her do a book.
I'm surprised being a Star Trek fan, you wouldn't want.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, Picard or something.
Yeah, he'd be good. How about Obama?
Oh, that would be a really good one.
I don't know. So unworthy.
I know.
Yeah, I guess. Might as well have the president of the best president I've ever had.
He's out of a job in a few days.
Right. You want to do something? He's sure.
I could pay you $25 for it. It's going to be great.
I was going to offer him, he's a pretty funny guy. I was going to offer him, a 7-minute set at Daryl's.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Did you see
President Obama, I've got 7 minutes for you at Daryl's Tavern in Shoreline.
They had a reel of him, telling the worst jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
I get curious on which jokes are his and which if writers did them or whatever, but or if he added stuff in.
I'm sure he has some really dirty jokes in there, but he just, he always wanted to be family friendly. So unlike Trump. Trump doesn't give a shit.
But did you say who yours were? Who would narrate?
Oh, David Attenborough.
Did I ever?
Planet Earth guy, nature documentary guy.
There you go.
The Planet Earth 2's coming out.
Who does that?
You see that?
Is it called Mars?
No. Planet Earth 2. It's a sequel.
Because they did. I remember. But it was a long time ago that they did Planet Earth.
Yeah, and this was another one that they've been spending 10 years.
Didn't they do one that was all about humans? It was just called Humans or something like that.
Maybe.
Wait, is this the same one that does the... This is Planet Earth 2. It's a TV show, a series.
Yeah.
This is where they went
humans?
To...
Well, there's one where they, same production company or whatever, but they went around the world and instead of filming polar bears and mountain lions and hyenas...
Filmed humans?
They filmed humans.
Well, it's called reality TV. What do I care? Oh my gosh. It was kind of funny. Well, you narrated your own book, so I guess that would be your number one guy. How did you get the... how did you get that book published? Were you doing the query letters or did they discover you? How do they discover an author?
How do you get discovered?
I don't know. You hustle and you write query letters and you meet people and you get friends and you beg your friend to introduce you to his agent or whatever, right? You say, hey, can you pass this along, et cetera.
Nice.
And that in combination with just writing a ton of query letters and hopefully if they like your one-page letter, they'll read a 20-page sample. And if they like that, they'll read 100 pages. And different routes for different people and different books.
But they got to read something, right? Because have to publish books.
Yes. Some agents are have a full client list, right? You can only represent so many clients before you don't have time for them anymore.
That's true.
Right? So some of them are not accepting new clients. Some agents are just starting out at the beginning of their careers. They're hungry for clients and they're reading a ton of garbage trying to look for the next big thing.
Right.
But then they don't have new agents don't have the contacts to get the
It's all Rolodex,
publishers,
right? It's all who's had a cocktail with whom and
right.
That's how that business still works. You got to be able to call somebody up and say, "Hey, I got something for you. Put it at the top of your stack." Because all the editors at the different publishing houses are also reading through an endless stack of submissions from the numerous agents they know. And, if your manuscript gets lost in that shuffle, right, there's a series of shuffles you could get lost in, basically.
Right. It's crazy to me, every single art has this this situation of like it's
the gatekeepers, right?
Yeah,
I mean, somebody's got to whittle it down.
Yeah,
and you got you always have to like, hey, can you book me?
It's so funny, like the preconceived notions you have, like coming into any type of art form. You think like, oh yeah, not too many people are trying that, so it should be pretty easy to get to the top.
Or did you in writing? Did you feel like, oh no, if I have good work, they're gonna just discover me?
I mean, I did for years. Yeah, I mean, I kind of assumed if I was just brilliant, that would be enough.
Yeah,
it would just gravitate towards your blog.
Doesn't work that
way. Were you blogging or anything before?
So I went to poetry school twice. I have two.
Twice.
I have two.
Did you fail?
MFAs
or did you,
in poetry school. Oh, yeah. And I mostly wrote poetry for many years, hustling the poetry game, which is a.
Did you poetry slam?
No, I didn't slam. I was. You know, trying to the top aspiration there is like get your poem in the New Yorker, right? Get a book published that wins some prestigious poetry award, National Book Award, something like that.
Become a poet laureate of
totally.
Country.
That's the top of that chain.
What?
And then get a professorship somewhere, and you know, teach creative writing and wear a tweed jacket.
Because is there? Because you know? I know poetry slam people, they get money. They actually get paid for stuff.
No, really?
Yeah. I was shocked to find that out.
They don't just get like free beers?
No. They actually get – they actually have more – I've been asked more when I've tried to get some poets for some things, like, well, what's the pay? More than I have with comics.
Really?
Yeah. I've been like, what? Do you have an expectation? Like,
yeah.
The local comic, Danielle Gregoire, she was a slam poet in Canada before she moved here. And she was like, yeah, no, she made a good amount of money.
No joke.
As an active slam poet.
I wouldn't be surprised if slam poets made more money than traditional poets.
Wow.
There's zero money in poetry. There's it's even impossible to get a teaching job, really.
Damn.
That's why, I mean, that was my initial plan, was knowing I would make no money at poetry, I would nonetheless be able to, like, get a sweet tenure-track teaching gig. And then I eventually got old enough to realize that was
don't
a silly
just
hope.
Just get
or,
a...
You know? Yeah.
Well, I studied theater, and I had thought about like, oh, I could teach theater at a, you know, things don't work out. But then I started realizing as I was getting older, I was seeing where everybody was like going.
Right.
Or even our theater professors that came to our school in Northern California, they're like, no, you get a job offer anywhere, you pretty much have to move.
Right,
like,
because
there's
Tennessee
so few.
Or something, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, wait, I can end up living places I don't.
Then you taught dance afterwards,
and
right?
If you just want to live in like a big cool city like New York or Seattle or LA or something, then jobs are even way more scarce.
Nobody's gonna. And if you got a job in New York, you're not giving that up until you die.
Exactly.
Right? Like nice professorship.
Well, here's my my question for you: how long did it actually take you to write the book?
One thing to clarify: I co-wrote this book with my best friend Gavin.
Fuck Gavin, this is all you.
We're
it's
writing
all about
partners.
You.
We wrote a whole other book together before that just ended up in a drawer after we failed to publish it.
Wow.
That book took us, I don't know, 4 years. And then we spent about another four and a half years on this book. Of course, that's not like at the grindstone every day.
Right.
There were probably months in there where we didn't touch it. And we were busy with other things. Gavin was in law school. I was in poetry school.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We both had other jobs. You put in, you know, a couple hours a day and that kind of thing, and over the course of 4 years, you finally get two or three drafts done. You show it to friends, revise.
Right.
And then, you know, you're finally ready to go out to an agent, and hopefully from that point on, it kind of went exponentially, and things happened very quickly.
So did you and Gavin grow up together, or how did...
No, we met in Rome, actually, on a study abroad program.
Oh, very nice.
Reading poetry to each other?
Totally, yeah. Reciting,
and we should write together.
Keats in the Campo dei Fiori.
Yeah. Oh, man. Rome is one of the most beautiful places. Like, I kid you not. Like, how many years ago was this?
That was 2006.
Okay.
Yeah, 2005.
Man.
Where'd you go on...
We went to Rome. We went to... we were Greece, and then
but where in Italy? Just Rome?
Italy. We went to Rome. We went to Venice. There was a few other places. We were really Then we actually
tourist.
We went to Turkey. Turkey was crazy. That was cool.
It wasn't like Syria. See, I went to Rome and Florence when I was there. Florence way better than Rome. Rome was too much like a city for me. It was like, I felt like it was like in New York, but like an Italian one.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I can see that.
And so I was like, it's probably because I went to Florence first. And right. So it was like this like kind of cool, smaller city.
Did you go to Venice?
That's what all the tourists do, and I couldn't afford it. I was limited. But I do want to go because I want to go down one of the stinky rivers.
Yeah, you know? It was cool.
Oh, wait, are they smelly?
I've heard they're really smelly.
It wasn't too bad. Yeah.
No?
No, I actually heard.
Wait, what time of year did you go?
Summer.
Oh, because I thought that's when it was all especially stinky. No,
where was... I feel like I have heard something about stinky in the summer, but I don't think it was...
Did you go on one of those boats?
Yeah. It was super cool. Nice and I guess you have to live... In the city, you have to grow up there in order to be one of those. To work the gondolas.
Oh, you need to know.
Yeah, yeah. You need to know everything about the city. You have to go to school for it. And so it's legit.
Are they pushing off the bottom of the
canal
with a stick?
Yeah, a lot of times. So it's like, it's crazy because I guess the water just is continually rising. And so like a lot of it's just underwater.
Like one day
it's going to,
it will be gone.
Exactly.
And that's crazy to me. Just like, well, y'all going to work something out, right? Yeah. Or is this like...
And then you just do scuba tours.
I thought only Americans did that, where we just do we'll take care of it
later. Well, it's actually interesting when you talk to the people, they actually say that the government there is kind of siphoning the money or not spending it on what they need to. It's a lot of corrupt politicians and, you know, so forth. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard that a lot. Yeah. I mean, come on.
There's greed everywhere in the world.
But, I mean, mobs are... Right.
Well, they actually...
The classic Italian mobs,
well, they,
right?
Yeah, they like, said, yeah, they have mobs out there still. That's where it all started. Yeah, so... We went to where The Godfather was filmed. Like, it was crazy, man.
Oh.
Yeah, it was nice.
Was that in... Where was that? Was that in Rome? Gosh.
No, I'll have to look it up. I can't remember.
I thought that was just some tiny little...
Yeah, no, Sicily? Somewhere. No.
A soundstage in L.A.? No.
Yeah.
No, back then they actually went places and actually recorded there. Didn't green screen it.
They didn't just CG it all?
I know, right?
Grand Moff Tarkin in the new...
Right, what did you think of that?
I didn't mind it so much when I saw it the first time. I then saw it again, knowing, having read a few little articles about it. And
right.
It did bother me.
Kind of look fake a little bit.
Uncanny Valley still.
Yeah.
The first time I had no idea. I hadn't heard about it at all. And I was like, oh, it's cool. They got a guy that kind of looks like him. And I just thought they was like, I don't know, they did some makeup or whatever to make him look a little closer. And then I went and read something about people complaining about CGI. And I'm like, that was CGI. And then I saw it again. And then I was just looking at it going like, holy crap, that's a person.
Right, yeah.
Like, is that line new? Like, what did they do? Like,
yeah, didn't exist. The Leia model didn't look that good, though.
Oh, and they're talking about doing... We talked about this on the last episode.
Yeah, we did.
So. About it. No, about potentially them using... Yeah, and now they're actually, like, negotiating.
Are they?
Wait, they're negotiating what?
Princess Leia?
To Carrie just Fisher? Do, a CGI rendition of her. So, I mean...
I don't know.
He thinks you should recast her, but...
I think he's just recast it.
I don't know. But there's never really been a recast in that.
I don't know. I just kind of feel like they should maybe...
Kill her off?
Just do a different storyline.
There you go. Right. How hard is that?
Well, they have to... If they a trilogy, they've already planned... It's like imagine Back to the Future if they were doing the trilogy.
Wait, hold on. What's the... You mean the Force Awakens trilogy?
Yeah.
I mean, she's an old lady in that one, right?
Right, but I guess it's because it's her son, you know, who's the bad guy. So
no, so the 8, 9, they're in series. So, but I think they already had planned the story.
So I
don't think they should change the story just to.
I want to hear this analogy of Back to the Future. Can you imagine if
if they had filmed the two of them,
right?
And then on the third one, Doc died, and they're like, well, let's just write Doc out of this. Let's just use him.
You know what? She's not a super important character, right?
Yeah, you don't know that.
Well, I guess they were going to probably give her some sort of force powers, huh?
Give her. They're her birthright.
Yeah. So that's what I figured.
She's a Jedi twin.
I mean, come on. That's what's plagued every movie beyond the original trilogy from the beginning is this reliance on trying to keep the original cast really important to it instead of passing the torch to some new cool people.
Right.
What? What are you talking about?
Like the prequels, they had to be about Darth Vader. They had to be about Anakin, right?
They had to see the rise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's. Let's not talk about.
Why did they?
We can't talk about those. It's painful. I'm blacking out. We don't talk about. We ignore the prequels.
So a movie I did see recently that was actually really good was La La Land. Surprisingly, did you see the?
I did. Did you not read my review on La La Land?
No, I didn't read it. Okay, well, tell
me. Have you seen my reviews?
Amazing.
No, I never read anything he posts.
Have you seen my reviews?
Well, you were just like crapping
the
on
meme reviews?
Cowboy fans for like.
Oh, hey, God. Robert Moore, how's it feel?
Oh, yeah, after rubbing it in on the Hawks, man. That's, screw the
I'm
Cowboys.
I'm not as bad as
Chris Rodriguez. Chris Rodriguez
just would not let go.
So we got a buddy who, he's like, oh, God, what would you say? Robert's just like a huge Cowboy fan, and he was talking shit the whole season. And then when we lost,
doing well.
When we were losing, he was like, oh, you guys need to do this, Seahawks, you need to do that. And then when he finally lost, like, everybody just jumped in and was like, you piece of shit.
Are you a sports fan?
Not really. Yeah. I tune in and out of the Hawks.
Yeah. I wasn't until I was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then I started doing theater. Then I stopped. And then freaking Seattle got me.
I feel like I was always
more
of a collector than I was a – like, I had a bunch of baseball cards.
Oh, there you go.
You know? But I think I liked the cards more than I did. Mm-hmm. The actual baseball game.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Baseball is one of the most boring, like, unless you're there drinking a beer or something, I mean, but...
It can be challenging.
It can be. I can't sit. Yeah.
Long season,
What is it, like 100 and something games?
160 games. Yeah, that's a lot.
Why do you need that?
Dedicated.
But if I had to play a sport professionally, it'd be either that or golf because it's such a, like, no wear and tear on your body, really, and you get paid, you know what I mean? Like, they get huge checks. So.
You're not getting concussions.
Yeah, exactly, right?
But I've been doing movie reviews on meme form.
Okay.
Like I have a checklist of on the different
That's
categories.
That's what that is. Okay. I'm just at work when I'm like,
okay,
looking at
like
it
what is
I,
that?
Yeah, and then I'm like, okay, I got it.
You're like, does this qualify for Forever Alone? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. What?
You just have a list of little
like memes. Oh, like ratings, the different ratings like in a list, or like how the movie made me feel, and I have check boxes, and some are funny in there, and
I
some
gotcha.
Are. Yeah. And so, okay, what I said about La La Land was I think I gave that a B+.
Yeah.
And I said when I came home from La La, have you seen it?
No. I saw that trailer. It looks awesome.
Okay.
So
I'm not gonna spoil anything.
Okay.
Here's what I'm gonna say. I left there, I said, told my wife, it's a good movie. It's not the best movie of the year, but it's gonna win all the awards.
That's a good description.
Because it's about Hollywood and about the dream. And pursuing
it. What about Moonlight? Moonlight's not going to win all the awards?
No.
Come on.
No, I think La La Land.
Wait. Moonlight was the one about...
It's a black dude.
Yeah, with his kid.
Face. I don't know.
Was
it even out in the theater?
I saw the preview.
Is it even out in the theater?
Yeah.
I think it is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
It's on Cody.
I've just been all Star Wars stuff, and I'm like, what?
So.
That's my favorite movie.
Was it? Okay, so that's the one I'll have to watch next.
I'll check it out, but... Hollywood tends to love movies that are about themselves and about that. Like Shakespeare in Love is my analogy. Shakespeare in Love was not close to the best movie that year. If
but
you look at what
everybody.
Else is nominated,
did it win Academy Award?
Oh yeah, won Best Picture because it's self indulgent for all of them to be like, oh, it's about Shakespeare and theater and life and theater's life and that's us and we're all dreamers.
Well, let me ask you this: like last
let's
year,
get in our bends now.
Last year, I felt like am I the only person who didn't enjoy The Revenant? Like, I thought that was a horrible movie.
The Revenant?
The bear one?
Yeah.
I kind of like The Revenant.
I just feel like it just took forever.
Did you like Birdman?
You know, I never actually saw Birdman. I need to. I'll go watch
Birdman's
that
a good movie.
Is it? Okay.
That was good. That was solid.
I mean, same Inarritu, same guy.
Okay. He won back-to-back. Like,
did he?
Yeah, he won the previous year for Birdman, and then he won for The Revenant. So
I think Revenant? Revenant was not relevant to my life.
There you go.
So I didn't like. I had no interest in watching it because I'm like, you know what? I grew up watching all these. There's a bunch of movies of living in the woods.
Right.
That was before special effects were invented.
Right.
So they're like, hey, we can do cool movies now. You don't have to do movies about people lost in the woods.
Well, it was based on a true story, right? With the guy who was actually mauled by a bear. They tried to like bury him, and then he came back.
Looking up the wiki as soon as I finished it. And
it's crazy.
It's mostly true. It's,
there's
elaborated.
Some,
There's a set of movies that I'm like, okay, you know it's not like fun,
right?
It's going to be a good experience. I'm going to learn a lot or whatever. I'm going to understand the human condition better.
Right.
Am I going to sit here 2 hours and deal with that, though? Because now I'm getting like, I'm in the second half of my life now. I'm like, no, I'm going to die soon. I want to see some blasts.
Wait, how long are you planning to live?
Not long. I'm overweight.
Well,
it's
like,
how
did you feel in Hidden Figures when you were sitting there?
Hidden Figures?
Like, that was an entertaining story throughout.
Yeah, no.
I got choked up a few times.
I'm going to take my daughter to see.
I'm going to take my daughter to see
a movie about a black mathematician.
Right.
Like, please.
Well, okay.
On.
So here was my thing that I had to deal with. So my in-laws are white, right? And
did you go with your in-laws?
I did. They really wanted to see that. That was the movie they chose, and they voted for Trump. I was like, oh, okay.
Whoa.
So we went. And
did they go, Manny, you want to see that? Did they say, Manny, you want to see, like?
It's so crazy.
Would you see Hidden Figures, right?
So we're sitting there, and like, you know, like my inner like black person is just like, you know what? Don't say shit. Just like enjoy the movie. But it's like part of you thinks is like, were they part of that shit? Like, yeah, being rude to people, you know? And it's like, they may not
it's
have met.
Shockingly. It just really like, is. Like, wow.
And
just,
it's probably a watered-down version of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there's like boy, tough. There was no thought. Of,
yeah.
And then once the woman snaps at them was yeah. the best. I forget the character's name.
Oh, and you mean the main character?
Yeah. Once yeah, yeah. she snaps at them for the bathroom. Having to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
The, what I like, I made a comment when I got there. I was like, I know this is an important film for black people
mm-hmm.
because the theater is filled with white people. It's a very important black film. And then I did know that there was black people actually did show up.
Yeah, yeah.
Not before the previews.
You're like, right. Exactly.
I knew they showed up because in the middle of the movie I heard, mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, like, my God. There was so much like, that in mine, too. They were like, girl.
It was... And here's the thing. I was a little pissed off about this.
Okay.
I'm like, you know, as black culture has to be supportive of movies
mm-hmm.
ourselves. Like,
but we bootleg everything.
If there was a freaking, if this was a Madea movie, it would have been packed.
Right?
Right. If Madea yeah. was in the movie, it was like, oh, cameo by Madea. But, oh, let's go see Hidden Figures. But instead, it was all white people selling out the movie. Like, I went to see something else the week before, and it was sold out. Like, the people were having to watch something else because Hidden Figures. I was like, oh, it was great. All these white people want to go see this. And I'm like, yeah, that's all who's going to watch it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I get it, like, when you get a movie like 13 Years a Slave, and I'm like, again, all white people were in the theater when I saw it, but you're 12
Years a Slave?
12 Years a Slave.
That's the sequel you're talking about.
Yeah, the sequel was 13. It was 11 years?
Was it 12?
It was 12 years. It was 12
yeah,
years.
Yeah, yeah, 12, yeah, yeah.
13 was the 13 was the movie about the new slavery.
Right.
It's a Netflix movie about slavery. You know, it's full of white, but the part of it was like, why are black people going to be supporting black films like this?
You know,
but I did realize, why does it doesn't have to always be a movie about slavery? Can yeah. we not do
well,
that?
You know what the interesting thing is? I think to a certain extent, I mean, do you remember what it was like to be the only black kid in class
oh, yeah.
during Black History Month? Like, that was always the hardest thing for me because we'd be watching something like Amistad or like Roots. And then it's like all your friends are looking back and apologizing to you like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. And you don't know how to like take that because you're the only black kid in class. Like my teacher who was black in my history class, she was like, you don't have to sit here for
did
this.
Did you grow up around here?
Let's see. I grew up in California.
You don't have to sit, take the month off?
Yeah, she was pretty much, man. She was like, if you want to just like hang out in the computer lab, you could do that. But I went to high school out here for my junior and senior year. So it wasn't,
it's got to be way different during Black History Month in inner
right.
city Chicago or something.
You know,
right?
Yeah, seriously. Well, like growing up in California, surprisingly, I went to like majority like white, Asian, Filipino like school. And so it was like, you know, there were black people, but it was like we were still pretty small like group in like a pretty nice city. So it was like you still were probably outnumbered in classes and mm-hmm. things like that. But yeah, man, that was rough for me. Like,
do you wish they'd shown Madea?
You know, that probably would have been a little bit better. She'd have been like, hello. This is like, all right, cool. I can deal with this now. I don't know.
The only thing I like, look, I hate Madea. I hate the Tyler Perry movies. Like, I feel I hate that they're
me too.
Really stepping fat. I think they.
Chris
but,
Tucker,
like,
is he
the only
is he
thing
better?
I liked better. I think he's better. The only thing I like about him is at least their movies, like, it's like about a family.
Feel good.
And
movies.
It's not a. Well, it's not about being black,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
just about.
It covers the black experience. A movie like Harlem Nights, remember that?
I love that movie.
Harlem Nights, mm-hmm. that was wonderful because that was just black gangsters. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, there were some white issues with white people came up then. But
it was more with, like more. The Italian mafia kind of, yeah. you know, that they were.
Waiting to Exhale, too. You know,
yeah.
Just
oh, my
black,
God. That's
angry
like,
black women.
Angry black women, I swear. Like, so growing up with a divorced mom and, like, that was, like, every black woman's like movie was Waiting to Exhale and How Stella Got Her Groove Back. Like every black woman, and they were playing the soundtrack in their cars on tape. So
I mean, this is a good thing about science fiction where it is more the story doesn't have to be about race at all, and there's
right.
black actors in it. And
well, you know, the thing
nice.
I'm really liking right now is that they're really focusing more on like the female heroine. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
as far as like Rey in Star Wars, mm-hmm. and you know feel like there's this women's movement that's slowly starting to happen. I thought it was going to happen with Hillary, but clearly it didn't.
You know what, though, in sci-fi, like, do you remember when Captain Sisko had that girlfriend in Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, he found the one black woman.
He found the one black woman in space.
And like, well, I better marry her. I was looking back at watching that recently. I was like, this is kind of racist. Like,
I mean, they have interracial, like, interspecies, like, right, shit before they, but still, black captain has to.
Find the black woman.
That's hilarious.
Well, we better get married. What else? Because otherwise we can't have a relationship. Well,
I'm trying to think. Wasn't the first ever, like, interracial.
That was on original series Star Trek.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So you had. With Shatner and
yeah, but they weren't in a relationship.
No,
they
yeah,
done that.
Was, yeah, well, he, oh, yeah, they're like,
well, okay, and I was actually watching like my daughter and I were watching Star Trek Voyager, and you know, she was like, oh, female captains, she was excited for that, and she's excited to see that because it still is novel, like, but I was thinking about like how bigoted Star Trek really was in some sense because they're like, hey, no, this is Star Trek. But a woman's in charge. A woman. Okay, this is a big deal. Like, they did that with each one. A black captain. People were like, oh, is everyone ready for us to have a black?
What was Picard then? Was he like, hey, but he's
bald. He was just the white dude.
He doesn't have the nice hair.
No, that was just, I was like, no, here's. Basically, I was thinking every pitch meeting for Star Trek after, like, Next Generation was like, okay, we're going to do it again, but this time he's black.
So, what'd you think about Sulu and the new Beyond? Where they made him gay, and he had a guy partner, and they had a kid.
Wait, here's the.
Do you think they were trying too hard, or do you think it was?
Oh no, I mean, okay, but I mean, of all the characters you're gonna make gay, of course, it's like a little nod to George Takei.
Yeah,
right?
Because... exactly. But even he was kind of bothered by it for some reason.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he said this wasn't how the guy who invented it wanted.
Gene Roddenberry didn't say
that he wanted
Sulu
him to
was
be...
gay.
Right,
right. So it was a change on. I feel like they were not. I'm curious. That's funny now because I thought maybe he was like encouraged it or something.
Yeah.
Because I was like, they made the one actual gay man from the show the gay character.
Right.
So I didn't know that he wasn't. Because I thought that's why they did it. Because I was kind of like, oh, okay, haha. I want to make a Chekhov or like.
Oh, poor Chekhov. Rest in peace.
Oh, yeah. Feel bad.
Neil Patrick Harris is gay, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was just watching a Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog the other night. Did you guys ever see that?
Yeah.
Right?
I have. Oh,
so
you've not seen that?
No, okay.
Holy shit, you need to watch that
like,
tonight.
You know, he wrote
45
that
minutes
with,
total.
With those other people. It's kind of a team effort, I think, right?
No, Joss Whedon. Was it Joss Whedon?
Joss Whedon directed
it. He wrote it.
Did he also write it?
Yeah, him and his brother.
Neil Patrick Harris doesn't seem to have any issue playing straight guys, though, right?
Right.
No, nobody has
do that a lot.
Well, there's plenty... Well, what's his name? The Vulcan from Star Trek, the new guy?
TK?
Yeah.
The is actor. This turning into
Who's
Gay?
Yeah, he is. That's right. Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, they're not, it's never an
issue.
We're
calling everybody out today.
It's never an issue for the actor. It's an issue for the audience that for in the past is like, they used to have to hide it because otherwise people said, oh, well, your career, you can't, you know, no one will be able to take you seriously as a straight man if they know you're gay. Like, so you had to be, otherwise you couldn't be the lead love interest. You had to be, like, the friend.
Right.
Who's, like, the comical one.
Yeah, did you see this, I don't remember who the actor is. There's some new, like, Michael Jackson movie that's in development.
Oh, yeah, where the white guy was going to play him, but Paris was really upset. So I think they scrapped it, to tell you the truth.
Oh, I'd be pissed off at that. That's, I mean... Unless you have two actors playing it, once
so, like,
Michael was white.
Is it fucked up if a straight guy's playing a gay guy?
You know, that brings up an interesting point because then it's like you're not – you know, I think in the entertainment world, you want representation, right? I mean, if you're an audience member, you want to be represented well. So what is it like to be a Persian person but yet see Jake Gyllenhaal play the Prince of Persia? You know, what is it like to see – Christian Bale play a Jewish guy from, you know, or Moses.
Right.
You know?
It is that whole, like, yeah, we've not had so many roles for so long.
Right.
Then to take the historical figure and use it. Well, I think it's similar.
Did you see Doctor Strange?
I saw Doctor Strange.
So who is it? Wang is supposed to be an old Asian guy, right? But it's played by, what's her name? Tilda Swinton?
Tilda Swinton.
No,
did you see
Tilda
the discussion that she had with...
I didn't.
there's a discussion she had with that.
I liked Tilda Swinton in that. I thought
she was great. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I thought she was amazing. But, you know, there was actually, I had some Asian friends who were like, really the one superhero that we have.
Although, did they really want to have a wise Asian man stereotype? That's
what, yeah. Right. Yeah, and actually, exactly. That was the discussion they had with Margaret Cho. And Tilda was talking. She released an email exchange that they had.
Right.
She was like, they wanted to avoid that stereotype of
right?
the
they could, there was no way to win
and
that.
So they were, that's true. A bunch of people said, like, why they make her Celtic? And I was like, well, actually, they were trying to make her sort of just this person. I mean, it was also a guy before. Right. So they're like, oh, well, we're making it a woman and just kind of make an ancient one that doesn't really have quite a race is what they were going for.
Right.
And
well, that's still in Tibet for some reason.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's what it took. But I mean, that's where you go to meditate. But
you know, it's so interesting. It's like I've always thought about that. Like as a kid, like especially during Halloween. It was always tough because I feel like you know, we have jokes about it, but we always had to be like the black version of the white superhero because we always wanted to be Superman or Batman, but you could never be those things. So I think it's cool for every race to kind of get their representation. And I mean, even Green Lantern, they have a gay Green Lantern, right? Mm. So, I mean, that's.
Well, again, the argument I was going to say was like, it'd be like people, gay community would get mad if you just. They have somebody famous and it's played by a straight guy.
Right.
But they did that. Harvey Milk, they did that.
Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, well, I'm wondering, well, maybe because years ago there were still like people afraid to cast the...
Right.
The,
but is it necessarily the case that the gay actor will best portray the gay character?
No.
That's a good point.
I mean, if so, then you would say the same thing about Neil Patrick Harris shouldn't be playing a straight guy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if you're a good actor,
you're a good actor. Exactly. You can pull it off. I mean, Will Smith played a gay guy, right? In one of his first movies.
Gender is fluid.
Yeah.
Race is a construct, but it's not fluid.
Okay.
It's a solid. I don't know.
It sounded like it made sense.
Dare we get into Rachel Dolezal?
Gender is fluid.
Yeah, seriously, NAACP.
Rachel. She just presented white.
Did you guys watch Atlanta? Do you see Atlanta?
Oh, no, I hear it's great.
I need to see that.
Atlanta's awesome.
Man,
I didn't know that was being produced by Childish Gambino.
Yeah, right. So Donald Glover. And he's playing Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
So he said he's on a crazy diet right now where he's not eating anything. Like
what?
He's eating nothing. To be like as skinny as fucking who's Colt 45?
Billy
Dee Williams, man.
Yeah. See that skinny?
I think so.
Donald Glover does not look like a big man.
Donald Glover is already skinny.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So I'm like, unless you're trying to maintain weight, but yeah, man, Donald Glover.
Well, maybe they're trying to. Is he supposed to be like an orphan?
I'm guessing.
Like, growing up, like...
You know, so this...
That's what special effects are for,
so,
right?
I don't know.
Send you out. Yeah. Make me a movie star, Hollywood.
They made a whole just guy out of nothing. Right?
Really? Yeah, give me muscles. Make me a leading man. Hey,
have you heard of Asif Ali? He's a comic. He's on this...
Yeah.
So I worked with Asif this weekend, right? And...
Name drop.
Whatever. And he was talking about how, you know, all these, like, guys like Donald Glover and, you know... Basically, the way to make it now is by, you know, the YouTube and, you know, like, it's all of these, like, different social mediums. So it's like, I almost wonder, will that be the next thing for books? You know, do you have to have, like, a bit of a social media following in order to be like,
oh, BookTube?
Yeah, you do.
Because I almost feel
Instagram
like.
Instagram follower?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll read his book.
You on Twitter? You know, you got to get your followers up. You
right.
Know,
yeah. That's so crazy to me because it's like. It's so hard for me. It's like Facebook is fine. I feel like I don't have a problem with that. But Twitter is the hardest damn thing.
Oh,
I
hate Twitter.
It's like I'll put a great tweet up and it'll get 2 likes. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? You know, it's like.
No, it's just so hard. I feel like you get lost in there so fast.
You really do.
And then what? You have to put up like, hey, here's my girlfriend's cross stitch. on Instagram, and they're like, see, "Oh, I like that cross stitch. I'll buy a book from him."
I don't get Instagram. That's the
hard one for me too.
I mean,
like,
I'm not a visual guy in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much better at toying around with words and making.
Right.
Well, I've discovered you just have to tweet just about your day. Like, just take a picture randomly about your day.
I've been trying to tweet.
You do this cup. Yeah. Like, here, we're gonna do like. I'm going to do
a live tweet.
I'm going to live Instagram this.
So the interesting thing to me though is like. You know, I get the fact that your fans want more of you and to see. I guess they just want more access to you.
You got
to
cut through the noise is a big thing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, books are one of the oldest entertainment
right.
media,
mm-hmm.
and there's like virtual reality games now.
Right. It's like, and how do you compete with that?
People only have so much time in their day to like spend on entertainment.
It just blows my mind because there's how many million people, 500 million or 600 million people here in the U.S., and like barely any of them read anymore.
I know.
Like how, like, that's probably the reason why we're in our Trump situation right now is people aren't, I don't know. I feel like people don't have.
You know what? Like, TV is also better than it's ever been.
Oh, yeah. God, right? It's so good. TV is so good right now. Like, I don't want to leave the house.
Netflix and chill. All these.
No, Netflix and get the fuck over on the other side of the couch so I can watch this.
That's where the good writers have gone.
Yeah, you know? That's a good point.
So good.
And think about that. I mean, here's the thing. Like, with your book currently, do you see it going? Or is this, was this just a one-time thing? Or will it be a series? Or is it?
No, it's you know, I thought about it, adapting it into a TV pilot or a film. I think it would probably make a better film than a TV pilot, just based on the narrative arc. But it's certainly not something I would really want to write a sequel to or something.
Right, okay.
The new book I'm working on is a little more, it really shouldn't have a sequel either. It's definitely more commercial, thriller kind
of. A lot of things shouldn't have a sequel, but we do it for money. You
know? That's very true.
That's right.
So
sell out now.
Yeah.
Just be prepared.
So are you just sitting on like a bunch of ideas right now that you're just always working?
Ideas are cheap, I think. Yeah. Like, most writers I know don't do this. They they somehow get their heart set on some idea they have to do, and they go up to their agent, you know, 4 years later, and they go, "Here's my novel. It's about a family in Nebraska and dealing with autism,
right? Yeah,
and one of them is an immigrant, and what I do is my buddy Gavin and I we brainstorm like a dozen different novel ideas that we think would be fun to write, and then we go to our agent and we say, hey. We'd be happy to write any one of these books.
Wow.
Which one do you think we should write?
Yeah, yeah.
And we look for that little overlap in the Venn diagram of what he thinks might sell versus what we think would be interesting to explore for ourselves. Okay. Because there's you got to find something in that slice, right?
Because
if you don't do that work, then you end up writing your passion project that no one else gives a fuck about.
Exactly,
you know, sell a book. You know? I'd rather have somebody read it.
Yeah.
Might as well like pay attention to what the market is. And that I don't think that's selling out. That's just finding that overlap.
Exactly. And then the other question I had is how do you write with another person? Like
we're pretty good at it now. I've been doing it like 10 years.
Okay.
We tend to divvy up chapters or sections based on character perspective. If it's a book with multiple perspectives, that makes it kind of easy dividing line.
Nice.
This new book is a single perspective. It's one woman. It's from her voice, so it doesn't, that line isn't as easy to draw. So it's a little more random. Hey, do you feel like you know how this chapter should go? Oh yeah, I got a line on that. Okay, jump in.
And okay,
we do that, and then we just kind of swap pages and rewrite each other's work.
Nice. Okay. So then it just has a seamless blend to it. Okay.
And then we do that again, and then like in the final polishing edit stages. Sometimes we'll just be kind of reading it aloud together, changing a line here and there, and it blends into one voice that way.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. To wrap my mind around it, it's like I could never write a book with Silas. It's just like we've got, you know what I mean? Like,
well, he's illiterate.
I am. Yeah, exactly. I was like hooked on phonics. Like, it barely helped me. So
it's like subtitles. He's like, I'm out of here.
You got to read in this? Oh,
you know, like that's the standard in a lot of other art forms, though, right? Mm-hmm. In the TV world, it's collaboration.
Right.
Lots of films written that way. Music, the Beatles, you know, like, no one's ever like, how did you write a song together, Paul McCartney?
Well, I guess, I mean, that's true. But I guess for some reason, I feel like book, I just imagine this one person that sat down and was like, my voice, and this is my world. Like, God, I wish George Lucas had a co-writer.
Yeah.
For the prequels, at least. I mean,
he didn't have anyone to say no to him at that point, right?
That's the problem is when you get too successful, you have nothing but yes men around
and
you.
And he didn't have a budgetary constraint. I feel like in the original series, in the original trilogy, just the lack of money forced certain decisions onto the story.
I'll tell you what, annoys the ever-loving shit out of me is seeing the older movies with the new CGI, like that wasn't quite good CGI. Now that you look at it, it just looks so awful, and I'm like, just let it go. You know what I mean? Just keep it.
Honestly, I like the I hate the CGI Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like puppet Yoda.
Puppet Did you Yoda's
puppet
great.
Yoda was okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I like
unless you see it on one of those new TVs and they have it adjusted on the wrong megahertz.
Yeah,
and it looks like it's like in your bedroom.
I did enjoy the lightsaber fights with Yoda. You know what I mean? Like just seeing him kind of fly all around the place.
I mean, I kind of did. Yeah. I think I was simultaneously of two minds. Like, Oh, Yoda, he's flipping around. It's awesome, you know. But I was also like, fuck you, Lucas.
Yeah, seriously, right? Ruining everybody.
Yoda is supposed to have a cane. He's just, you know, like, let him be 800 years old and then do awesome shit with the Force without having to flip around like a Spider-Man.
And then he picked up the cane and was like, ooh, it was a funny joke. And I'm like, you did all that for a fucking joke?
I would rather have had him just kind of like Force flip like, people around and slam them into walls or something.
Because you're that strong with it.
He's strong with the Force. Why is he jumping around with a lightsaber?
Yeah, if you could lift a plane.
But it was cool.
Yeah, it was, yeah. But yeah, no, I hear you. It didn't make much sense to walk around with that cane and be able to like flip and do all the other shit. But unless you can control your body with the
Force. Use your he should be if he can do a flip. Should be able to not have a limp. Jesus.
Yeah, right? Why isn't he using the Force?
I can lift his X-Wing. Who was it? Yeah, in the X-Men, wasn't it like he wasn't paralyzed because he was using his energy to keep him out of himself, out of a wheelchair.
That made.
And then once he decided, okay, I'm just going to go with my telepathy, he lost his.
You know, well, that's a problem with so many of these, like the X-Men series.
Yeah.
I feel like they just overpower everything.
Yeah.
Like, remember that last thing Magneto did when he, like.
Oh, with the world and.
Yeah, just.
Yeah.
When your characters can do that.
Yeah, what's the
point?
Like,
then you have to invent crazier and crazier.
Exactly. You've always got to keep going. Stop them. So that
Avengers are doing that too, and I have to like destroy the universe to make a plot.
Yeah, that's what's going to be happening. Well, you know the crazy thing, like you said, with it just blew my mind because in the first X-Men First Class, he was shot in Professor X was shot in the back, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And he was paralyzed, and then all of a sudden in the next one, it was more about whether he wanted to give up his powers, right?
Well, wasn't that part? I thought the only reason I'm trying to remember because I haven't seen it in a while, but wasn't it that he was able to heal himself if he focused on it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So then he didn't need the wheelchair.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it was his own vanity that he didn't want to be a cripple.
Oh,
yeah.
But then once he decided
to let it go,
mm-hmm.
then he couldn't. He had to go back in the wheelchair.
You know, I really wonder if Fox will ever give up the rights to X-Men. Probably not.
Oh, yeah. Is that the thing? They just have to keep making movies to retain the rights?
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many bad...
It's the same thing with Spider-Man.
Superman. But instead they got Spider-Man back now.
Well, no, they don't have it fully, though. Oh, they do.
Well, I think at least it's on loan indefinitely right now.
Yeah, apparently they have like a shared universe and they're able to do something, so...
Do you guys know about this graphic novel called... it's just called Gotham, maybe? Or Gotham PD, something like that?
Oh, is it... The one that's based on the TV show a little bit? Or
There's a TV show? I don't know.
Yeah, so there's a TV show, Gotham, right? With it's all about...
it's the origins of all the villains, pretty much.
But it has, whatchamacallit, from James Gordon as the detective, so it's pretty much the police.
I don't know. I haven't seen the show. My buddy got me this for my birthday.
Who's the detective in Gotham?
So like, it's like the Gotham City PD, and mm-hmm. they're just kind of in the shadow of Batman. And just follow these detectives... And, like, occasionally Batman will, like, pop into the comic for, a page.
Oh, so different.
But it's not really about Batman.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's about these cops, like, carrying on the, like, gritty detective work of Gotham.
Yeah, yeah.
And then occasionally, like, they have to deal with a supervillain.
Yeah.
And then Batman will, like, come in and, like, do the job. And they'll be like, God damn it. I don't feel like a man next to him.
Right. Yeah. Dude, that's an awesome concept. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's like you would barely ever see Batman.
And that's what I want to see with like Spider-Man, where I'm just tired of them. You know, just like do something interesting. There's a whole cool universe there.
Right.
Explore what the Gotham Police Department is like.
So I don't know if you guys saw Suicide Squad. Horrible movie.
Right? I heard it was horrible. And
it was horrible. But I thought you could have done it a smart way. So like if you wanted to do something where the bad guys were doing good, do it like this. I feel like have them go try to stop whatever the villain is, but at the same time have them being hunted by the good guy. You know what I mean? Like almost like a thriller of something like coming to get you, and like these guys don't even know if they're safe. So just, you know, do different spins on things. It's like you don't always have to do.
Wait, you mean like the good guys don't know that what they're doing is going to save the world?
Well, maybe sort of, but like, okay, so you know the concept of Suicide Squad, right?
A bunch of bad guys, and they're like, they had bombs in their neck.
Yeah, we need you to do this, or else we're going to kill you. But have Batman hunting him down at the same time, because that's his role, is to hunt people down. Yeah. So it's like, while you're trying to save the world, Batman's like taking them out one by one, and it's like, you can't even do this job because you might die, you know, and then this guy. So, just a different spin.
I always wanted to see, like, I wanted to see a Star Trek series that didn't have anything to do with Starfleet. Like, I want to, so, like, just, like,
yeah, like who's on not the, in Starfleet? Just eating their replicator food, watching future 24th century.
No, I want to see, like, taking place on Romulus, and it's about, like, the, you know, it's like Dynasty, but on Romulus. So they're fighting for power, and someone's trying to get some shipyard.
Okay, that sounds like
taken
shit.
Over. So. Like, yes.
Yeah, like it's just called Borg, and it's just inside a Borg cube.
Resistance is futile.
As they go along assimilating races from their perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things you can do. I just feel like Hollywood just wants to stick with what works, you know? So it's, but I hear you. It's like, why not try a few different things? And I don't know.
That's my web series. It's like a Romulan dynasty.
There you go. So what are the rules of that? If you wanted to shoot like a quick web series of like a Star Trek thing, could you
get... it's not legal.
Okay, it's not legal.
You just have to do it.
You'd have to call it something else.
Okay.
Well, it's a fan film. You call it a fan film, and usually they just leave you alone.
Okay.
If nobody makes any money on it.
Okay.
If nobody makes any money, they won't really mess with you now.
Right.
Because they found it does actually help
their product.
Publicity, but if you try to make any money off of it in any way, if anyone gets paid involved in it,
I wonder, do they have the rare cases of like, okay, you did really great with this, let's pick him up and help write something? Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, have you seen them?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm sure they're awful.
Okay, so I was checking out the on Cody there, typed in Star Wars.
Yeah.
On the
oh, they had so many other Star Wars.
Oh, there's
things.
There's a whole bunch of like fan films on there, and someone connected on YouTube, and we saw. I'm like, what is this? Oh, let's try this. I'm this is bad. Oh, okay, yeah.
But how many views did it have?
I don't know. It didn't show on the app that I was on.
Yeah. Hilarious.
But I'm like, yeah, okay, that's.
And you wonder how much production like cost they put into it.
Dude, they had to have. It was special effects were great on.
Really?
I mean, my wife and I agreed that the ship flying into the Capitol and everything. It's like it kind of looked like a video game version of it, but like video game like 15 years ago.
Okay.
Like, so not good like for CGI now.
Yeah.
But for somebody just probably doing it
on their own.
Probably a crew of 12 people, like, let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of like ships flying into cities, just I had a nitpicky thing about Rogue One that just I haven't told anybody about, but like, you know those crystal ore ships that are like on that one planet, on the desert planet, that are collecting the crystals.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these little like establishing shots where they show those ships like going in and out of the city.
Right.
And every time I was like, is there like some kind of landing pad there? These are big ass ships. And, like, they're not. I feel like the animators just didn't really figure out where they were going to go because you never actually see them land.
Right. It's so funny how little things like that can really mess up a film for you. You know what I mean? You see these little things in your mind. You're like, well, how the fuck are they doing this over here? So. Silas looks bothered.
I'm trying to think about that. I was like, I didn't notice that. Now I'm going to have to go watch it.
Yeah,
it was a shitty, weird thing to notice. You know, I won't hate a movie for that. I have a bunch of other beefs with Rogue
One. Where
are
they landing?
More important than that.
Okay, wait. I want to hear the rest of these. What are the other beefs?
I have, like, narrative structure beefs mostly.
Okay.
I think Forrest Whitaker was a kind of wasted
I agree.
Character.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was really, really, I mean, he's a great actor.
Right.
His character seems like an interesting guy. But when they don't need him in the storyline anymore, he just kind of disappears and decides to die.
You will to kill me.
What did he say? Keep hoping.
Keep hope alive.
Oh, God. They dropped the word hope in there so many
times.
Seriously. I was just like, well, his role, I was kind of like, oh, there's a lot that they just cut out of the film of him, I think, that they
I could see
just
that
couldn't
for
keep
trying
this,
to save
they didn't
time.
Know what story.
Yeah.
Well, the movie didn't really figure out what it wanted to do until they got all the rebels together at that one base right before they went on the final attack.
Right. Spoiler alert. I still think the most badass scene is that Darth Vader scene at the very
course,
end.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Right.
That's like the one scene where I get chills.
Yeah.
People, a lot of complaints about that scene.
Really?
About saying like they took that movie kind of took away from the rest of the film. That it was it
that
was
such part a, took away from the rest.
Yeah,
of it?
But saying that it was like suddenly it was this Darth Vader film that
I wonder.
Wasn't
I mean,
really about that.
Like the closer it gets to the original trilogy, you're like, yes, it's better and better. But
I mean, I hope they do a Darth Vader film at some point. You know, like maybe
they did three of them. Right.
No, yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
Like, or but I just, or six.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. I guess I just want to see him in that suit, maybe just like
just murdering more children.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's not. Not
like everyone's like, that's what, it still bothers me a little bit how much people cheer for Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, he is a murderer.
Yeah, no,
he
I just
killed children. What are y'all rooting
he gets
for?
Redeemed at the end, though. Right?
Oh, yeah. Good.
I kind of wish they would redo, like,
hey, after he killed billions of people, if you got like, oh, my son.
So if you could,
not my son though. Oh, he's a good guy. He cares about family.
Okay,
if he cares about family. Bottom
could,
line,
if you could reboot the whole thing, would you?
Huh?
If you could reboot the whole thing and like even redo the originals,
redo them?
Yeah, yeah. Just like
why?
Maybe like I don't know, speed them up a little bit. No, you'd leave them. Okay, would you leave?
They're well done.
Leave the originals?
I would leave them.
Okay, episode 6 just bothers me for some
Return
reason.
Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
I have no heart? What's
no,
going on?
Just the Ewoks. And
I love the Ewoks.
The Ewoks, I'm just like, these little bears are taking on the Empire. I was like, are you shitting me? I was like,
I do not apologize for the Ewoks. They should be. That's
little
the,
people?
It's about the little man fighting.
The little man fighting.
Little man fighting well,
you know
the Empire.
Is, yeah. This is one of the things, well, my other
bunch
beefs
of Bernie
about Rogue
Sanders.
One. Right?
Africa's.
So like in Jedi, you have all this time you spend on Endor. You get to know the inhabitants of Endor. Andor moon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in the beginning of Rogue One, you're just jumping around planet to planet to planet, and it just starts to feel like, who cares what planet I'm on? Like,
yeah.
I don't, these planets are just like landscape painting.
You're right.
I don't really have any identity. The people there don't have any identity I can really connect with.
That's
and
a true author, right?
If
there.
You had spent time on like you did on Endor,
mm-hmm.
and got to know the location, got to know, I mean, like, even
you care
in,
more about
even
them.
In New Hope, you figure well, out what kind of planet Tatooine is.
Yeah, yeah,
you
right.
Know?
That's true.
No, and I definitely see that, and I think one of the problems is it's one of the few movies that we all sort of knew how it ended.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There was no question of like, well, do you think they're going to get the Death Star plans? Well, we all...
Yeah.
We all know what's going to happen.
You didn't
so you
know
to
that
this
they were
going
to have to do that stupid...
yeah, yeah, exactly.
What dumb way...
manual what grab of the data file.
Technology. Yeah. Yeah. That they're still using floppy disks. You didn't know that. And then bad Wi-Fi.
They can't just punch in B27.
Yeah.
Look at that. They got a claw machine
yeah,
out of it.
Seriously, right?
Imagine if they saw a vending machine, they'd be like, holy shit, this was a good idea. We should do that. You know what? Ultimately, actually, that was one of the reasons I knocked down Hidden Figures in my scoring.
Okay.
The thing I said about it was the problem with the focusing a movie on three characters is I never got to really care about one of them a lot.
No, okay.
I kind of liked them all. I liked them all.
Yeah.
But I didn't love, like, one of them. So I didn't feel as emotionally attached as if it was a story about one of them.
That's a good point, because even the main character, they didn't even really focus on for the whole thing.
In Rogue One, who did you feel most for? Who were you the saddest when they died?
Ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah, I didn't care.
I mean, I guess not really Jen Erso, because it wasn't like, man.
Right?
I didn't.
I mean, I'll tell you mine. It's,
yeah.
It's the droid.
Yeah, that's
when
a good
he dies.
Point.
And then the what's his name?
The Force is with me. The Force.
I'm one
with the Force. The Force.
Donnie Yen. Donnie Yen. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Is that the blind guy?
Yeah, the blind guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you know who I didn't care at all?
Who?
Jyn Erso's dad. Galen.
Galen
whatever,
Erso.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like because he's a bad actor. That's why I never care for him.
Yeah.
Nah, he's good. He's good in Casino Royale.
He was in Casino Royale. He was great. You didn't like him in that?
I don't know if I
remember James Bond.
I don't know if I saw Casino Royale.
Really
I think
good.
The problem is you never like. For example, you all those other characters, Donnie Yen, the blind guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to see moments of him just being a regular human, joking around,
yeah.
hanging out when they're kind of bored and have nothing to
right.
do, and it makes him a real guy. Same with the droid,
mm-hmm.
right? It makes him a real character you can connect with. Galen Erso, you only ever got to see him being an Imperial weapons designer.
That's
in
true.
Brief little shots. And then when it was supposed to be really sad in the rain when he died.
Right. And you know, I guess that's a good point. I feel like you kind of overload these films with too many characters and then you don't get to love one or two of them.
Yeah,
so.
With so many action figures.
That's true. That's why I thought Grand Moff Tarkin just shouldn't have been in there. They had two weird bad. They had two bad guys and Darth Vader.
Right.
Like, condense those into one. Have Grand Moff Tarkin like be a hologram in one brief scene if
there
you want.
Go.
Well, you know when they did reshoots, which made me nervous. I'm betting that they were like, we need more like Darth Vader. I bet they added Darth Vader.
That's what I heard. It was like a last minute.
Did you see this deleted scene leak of Chewie ripping off someone's arm from Force Awakens?
No. Are you serious?
That came out like yesterday or something.
Wow.
What?
There's a deleted scene from Force Awakens where some CG guy like grabs Rey's arm and he's threatening her and like Chewie walks up from the periphery of this bar and you know
grabs him and
argues with his guy and then rips his arm off and throws it onto some gambling table.
Okay. Oh, is it supposed to be like an ode to the arm getting cut off? And
I guess so. I don't know.
And they're like, oh, how many different things are we gonna steal from?
You notice they put those guys in Rogue One, right?
Yeah. Right?
So let me ask you this: who do we think Rey's parents are?
Did we talk about this a lot?
I don't know. I don't know if we did. Did we?
I feel like I talk about this every day.
We probably do. Yeah.
Well, I know. I talk about it every day in my life.
I don't think I've talked to you about it.
I'm in Fred Meyers, and I'm just like, so who do you think Rey's parents are?
Yeah. Who do you think?
You know, I've been – that's one of those like – it's like having a Christmas present, and like when I was a kid, I would shake it. And,
right, just to see.
And this is one of those things where I'm just sort of willing myself not to speculate.
Okay. There you go.
I sort of want to like – I mean like I could be – obsessing and reading internet forums like, right. Oh, yeah, what's up with that last scene with Luke? You know, where's he been? You know? And I just kind of don't want to think about it because I think if I really think about it, I might guess it.
Right.
And then it'll be less surprising. I want it to just happen to me.
Yeah, there you go.
It's one of the – Star Wars is one of my few pure pleasures.
Yeah. There you go, right?
Q. It's Q.
Who's Q?
From Star Trek.
Oh, there you go.
We're back in time. It's all space. It's all relative.
You don't really think it's Obi-Wan.
I do, but –
that's how old is he? Was he slinging dick at that age? Like on Tatooine?
The Force is with him. Dick, he's one. He's one with the Force. The Force is with him. He's one with the Force. I don't know.
Force Aggra.
I can guess.
I'll tell you what. If you guys on
it's Luke and Leia's child.
If you guys, that's so gross. For those of you,
I just
who
saw
are
some deleted scenes from Empire Strikes Back.
Okay,
they definitely made that a lot. Good thing they cut some stuff out of there.
Okay,
there's this whole feelings thing where Luke and Leia almost make out.
Really?
And they're like, yeah. Oh, it's on YouTube. No, it's like these are deleted scenes that have been out.
I guess the question is, did they not know?
I don't think they knew.
Or was Lucas just like kind of really into that incest?
Yeah,
I think there was. They're like, there's another, and they're like, we'll figure out who the other is later.
Okay.
What's it going to be? A girl? No, it'll probably be Han or something.
I always thought that he had written all.
He says he did, but he's like,
he clearly did.
Yeah,
there's so much shit. He says, no, I knew this the whole time.
I knew Jar Jar was going
to
be...
No. The special effects were limited. Greedo totally shot first.
Yeah. Oh.
Bullshit. Don't believe anything he says.
Hey, you know, I wonder... He seems to put in his two cents now with every movie. He's just...
He doesn't have any more creative stake, does he?
I don't think he does. Nope. Yeah, they bought him out. So I think it was great that Disney did that. So.
All right. So we're about... We gotta wrap this up. Right. When's the ETA on your book? Like 2020?
What, new book?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I should be done with draft one in like 6 weeks, maybe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If today, for instance, I was trying to write all day. I probably put in at least 6 to 8 hours somewhere in there, but I didn't write one word. Instead, I spent all day researching how to kill people with radiation poisoning.
Oh, wait.
I did the same thing.
Can we just talk about this real quick? Like, wasn't there a spy that was killed, like, with that?
Yeah, so I read all about that. 2006, this guy, ex-KGB, defected to MI6. He was killed by the KGB with polonium-210.
And you just get poked with it, right?
Which was, done. I think it was in his tea, actually.
Oh,
put it in his tea. But yeah, you could.
Wait, isn't that old news?
Well, but here's the thing. There's a new spy who leaked the thing about Trump pissing on whatever.
He went to ground.
So.
What do you mean went to ground?
Yeah, it means he disappeared.
Yeah.
He
like got his go bag and his fake passports, you know?
Yeah.
And you know the like Guardian reporter who's writing that headline was like, oh my god, I get to write like a real spy headline. Yeah.
Wait, like we think he's like Russia?
No,
like he's running from Russia?
He's running from Russia, yeah.
Yeah.
He fears for his life from Russia.
Because he released
You can't remember. What's he was yep. MI6?
He's or, MI6, yeah, yeah. Or he used to be.
Used yeah. to be MI6. Yeah. So he was the one who leaked the Trump stuff, and apparently, like, now he's...
Wait, he's
knows.
British?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why does Russia want him?
Because he was okay. a spy over there.
Oh, he was a spy. He was a British spy
in
for
Russia.
Russia.
So he was posing, I'm guessing, as a something. Russian
wow.
diplomat or something.
I'm amazed you can even do that now with like Facebook. People are like, hey, actually, you're no. not Chekhov.
But the CIA, I read this thing the other day. The CIA mm-hmm. constructs like fake Facebook profiles for
really?
Their agents to have complete cover stories.
Wow.
That way, if they're like, oh yeah, I'm Brian. You know, Jenkins from
yeah, yeah.
Idaho, and they'll check and it'll be like, oh, yeah, look, he's got pictures of his family and there's a dog. And
dude, that's so crazy, right? Because,
oh, like, can you see how old it was or anything?
I mean,
or,
I'm sure that.
I'm
like,
just surprised that. Look at the face recognition that Facebook like, has. You put it up and they're
well,
like, no,
his,
you ain't Brian
it'll
Jenkins.
It'll be his face, though. It'll be real pictures.
It will be, right, yeah, yeah. Right? And I'm sure it'll be like, you know, they could.
But is it funny, like, Putin, like, tries to upload this, his, dude. You know, Chekhov's picture and it says, hey, it doesn't say you're. It says you're. You're Charles.
Dude,
like, what the hell?
It's so interesting. I mean, there's a thing on CNN called Declassified where you don't even realize how many spies are working within our government for other countries. So, like, there was actually Cuban spies that were letting the Cubans know during the, you know, Bay of Pigs and all this other stuff that stuff was happening or, hey, be ready when this is going on. So it's like when you think about the U.S. as a melting pot, you know, who do you suspect is going to be a spy? And who
remember all
think?
Those movies in the 80s about, like, sleeper cell agents
yeah,
waking up
man.
From Russia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got activated and, like, son.
Right.
You're a spy. You must go to the motherland.
Yeah, man. So that's crazy. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? You think he's dead or you think he's just missing?
No, I think he's...
Just hiding out somewhere. Yeah, that's smart. I live out the rest of your days.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks, though. I mean, especially if he didn't... Hopefully, he didn't have any kids or anything.
I don't sign
up. That's what he signed up for.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing, is if I was going to be a spy, I wouldn't have any family, any friends. It's like, you don't want anybody getting
killed.
If
you read about some of those Russian assassinations, too, it's just...
Right.
God, what paranoia you must have to live in if you're a person who legitimately has to fear that.
Yeah.
Because it could be... And like Garry Kasparov, for instance, is a human rights activist now, and he's like, he fears for his life from Russia, and he only drinks bottled water and carries around pre-made food with him.
No shit.
And like, he can't eat at a restaurant or whatever,
right?
He just can't eat any food that he hasn't seen.
Yeah.
That he hasn't seen prepared.
Wow.
He's just afraid it'll be poisoned.
Man.
You know what I would do? I would just like randomly walk into a restaurant and take someone's plate. Because you know it's probably safe. You'd be like, I'll give you $100 for this plate.
Yeah.
Like, why? Well, it's not, dude. It's like $20. Just order your own. No, I got this one.
Dude.
I want this one right now, $100.
That's a good
strategy. And you're like, oh, Kentucky Fried Chicken. This is awesome. Wow.
You should be hunted by the Russians.
You should.
There's actually a new show coming out. I don't know if you guys saw it. It's
Silas is hunted by the Russians now. Coming to ABC.
It's called, is it Hunted or something? But basically, they have these specialists who track down people, and they're trying to find you. And it's your goal to not be found.
It's a reality show. Don't get found by the PI.
Right,
whatever,
exactly.
Okay,
so I don't know how
it's called going to ground.
Probably. But no, dude. Yeah, it's so interesting that like we do live in a world that has real spies and all this stuff. So,
all right. Where can they buy your book?
Anywhere that
Christopher
Robinson has books
on books.
I mean, Amazon, yes, but you know, support your local bookstore.
Heck yeah, man!
Elliott Bay,
there you
Cowles.
Go.
You know,
for those of you out there, get your kids a book. Yeah, that's what's wrong with the world is not people aren't reading.
That's what's wrong with the world.
Yes, people aren't reading. That's for real. It's you know, think about how many people actually read a full post even on Facebook.
It'd be like if you read one book this year, and it's just like no, read more than one.
Yeah,
book.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, read at least 10 books. You could read 12. Read a book a month. You know
I think your brain operates in a different way when you're reading a book too.
Agreed.
You know, it's a sustained mental activity that's a lot different than like scrolling through articles
right.
on Slate,
yeah,
or whatever. You know.
All right, I gotta go play a video game. Let's.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So
get out of here.
Okay.
What's
your
Twitter?
Wait.
Title of the book.
One more time. Sorry.
War of the Encyclopedists.
Okay.
War of the Encyclopedists.
Yeah.
Christopher Robinson.
I'm
check him out.
At Man Under Bridge on Twitter.
Awesome. Follow him.
All right. And yeah, go to iTunes. Subscribe. Follow us, and please, if you like this podcast, share it. That's the best way to share.
Yeah.
All right. Black and a half.
Black and a half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Join us. Impressive. Join us.